Good morning, brothers and sisters. God bless you, and again, it's a new day, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for his grace and for everything that he does in our lives. I'm so thankful. And we're just going to continue with the thought. I will boast in my infirmities or in my weakness. And this will be a part two. And we took our scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and from verse 7. And I can just read the scriptures again. From verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I'll be exalted above measure. So he says here that he's got a thorn in his flesh because of the revelations that Paul receives here. Because, you know, revelation, when God comes and reveals himself, a man or us human beings, we can start to feel very important. We can puff ourselves up because we can say, God spoke to me. And we can use it in a sense that we want to gain power, or we want to have something over people. That's something that is within our nature. But it says that the Lord gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to make him stay humble, even though the revelations he received. So then it turns into that, because I believe for the true believer, when God comes and reveals something in his word, he reveals something behind his scriptures. Because that's what he does. He doesn't bluntly explain why things are like they are just by reading the letter. But he has a thought behind every scripture. And I thought about, just to explain it even more, when we talk about John the Baptizer, we read in Isaiah 40 about the prophecy about John. And I can just quote it here so we have it. Isaiah chapter 40. It's from verse 3. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here there is a prophecy about, which we know later on, that John came. And he, when people ask, well, who are you? Who are you, John? Who are you? And John responds to say that I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So he takes it back to the scripture. And you know, when you have your made up mind, because when you read in Isaiah chapter 40, you can read the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and he's gonna lift up every valley, and he's gonna lower every mountain. And then you can start to resonate in your own mind. Well, maybe this one that's going to fulfill this prophecy will come with some equipment, and he will start to try and chop down the mountains physically with a chopping, let's say just a chopping, I don't know if you can say stick, but you know, so you can tear down the mountains. And then he will have to come with a lot of mass of something to fill up the valleys. You know, in your mind, you can start to resonate. Oh, well, that's what I, and that's what you start to expect. When you see this happens, then you will understand that this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But then it comes to, how did he really come? He came in a way, because when he was going to lift up the valley and lower the mountains, it didn't talk about the physical things. It actually talked about people's hearts. He was going to prepare the hearts so the high mountains were people that looked upon themselves very highly. They had everything figured out, and they were the elite, you know, in their day. So they needed some, you can say, lowering down to do. So John had to come and prepare and give them a word to say, you are nothing. Let's just put it that way. But he was going to prepare their hearts to be able to receive the Lord when he came. And the same for the valleys. That was the people that were in the lower class that needed lifting up, so their heart also could start to believe and start to be prepared for the way of the Lord for when he came. So that's how the human mind can work. The scripture doesn't say bluntly that he will come in this way. So that's why we need revelation. And that's what revelation is. God takes a veil from our eyes so we are able to see. And I believe for the true spiritual believer, are in prayer and have a hunger inside to understand and to know more of God. And he sees that. So when we read now in 2 Corinthians 12 again, we read about the thorn in the flesh. And we can read verse 8. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And it says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So the thorn in the flesh, he wants it to depart from him. Because who wants a thorn in the flesh? Who wants something to, you know, bother them in that sense? But it is, the Lord sees what we need. He knows what we can handle. So if we are depending on God, we will realize that we are in need of this to stay in the lower places, because that's where God also can use us and reveal himself to us. Let's continue. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And also, as I said earlier, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, as I also said yesterday, that this is a mindset that the Lord wants to, you can say, bake into us. That even though trials, even though things that come on our way, as we read in verse 10. In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, but it is for the Christ's sake. How are we handling these situations? And the thing is, we need help from God to stand through these challenges, these reproaches, these needs, these persecutions, and the distress that we go through. He helps us. He gives us His word. He gives us everything that we need. And that's also what Apostle Paul also here shows us. Because when God comes and He gives you a revelation of who He is, and as I also said yesterday, He points out the path, the true and the right way to walk upon. You will walk on solid ground, on solid rock, as when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, He asks, "Who do man say that I am? Me, the Son of Man is." And some said Jeremiah, some said John the Baptizer. But then Jesus asks and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, he comes up and say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Let me just take it up here and read it so it gets quoted perfectly. So here it says in Matthew 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So, when God comes and gives you, as it says, "But my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you," you receive something so special that even the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it, because it is God. God is the eternal, the mighty one. He puts us on a path. If we stay and listen and walk after the desire that the Lord puts in us to want to know Him and to want truth, the truth, He will put us on a path which is solid and that we can walk upon. So when, if we go in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again, we can just take this part from verse 1. And there it says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." So this is talking about Paul himself. Verse 5. "Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities." And I have to say, the only thing, I can just take it to myself, the only thing that I can boast about is the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation that he gives, because that is not of myself. The weakness and the infirmities is in my body, but my spirit is what is the strong part of me, which is given by God. And verse 6, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. Why can Paul say this? For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. It's because he says this because he knows where his revelation is from. He knows that his revelation is true because God has come and told him personally himself. So when he might desire to boast, he will not be a fool because, as we continue to read, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So if Paul would like to boast, he wouldn't be a fool because the things that he speaks is truth. He was so confident in what God has shown him. And brothers and sisters, that's also how we should become and should be. We have to be confident in that the Lord has put us on this path, that the Lord has revealed himself to us. And in this way, that's the only way we can walk in peace. And really, this is the key to the whole message that I have for this week. Because how can I boast in my infirmities? It is when I know that God has given me something to hold on to help me through all my infirmities. Because that I can never do on my own or in my own strength. But God has to give me something so I can stand through it. And that's why Paul says here in verse 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. It says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities. And I can ask us, how can we take pleasure in our infirmities? In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. Because, you know, Paul, he realizes, for when I am weak, then I am strong. But he gets through all these challenges because the Lord has come and revealed himself to him so he can get through all of it. So it's all by the grace of the Almighty. So, and I'm so thankful for his word, that he can teach us these things, that he can show us that it's actually possible to have an uplifted mind, an ongoing spirit, even though through trials and challenges that comes on our path. And I believe the pressure is just increasing. You know, the devil, he has a short time left, and he's working very hard to even fool the elect, if it was possible. So I just pray that we continue to seek the Lord, continue to let him do a work in our lives. So this was the part two of the title, I Will Boast in My Infirmities. And I just pray that God blesses you during this day. And yes, God bless you. So see you again tomorrow.